Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the program. Brian Diaz here with you. Happy to have you here with me on the NOLA Drink Show. Yeah, thanks for joining in again this time around, friends. Got a really interesting show coming up for you today. We are going to be chatting with Tracy Stuckrath, and Tracy is the founder of Thrive Meetings and Events, and she is also the host of the terrific podcast Eating at a Meeting, which, like this show, appears on the Nitty Grits Podcasts, which is the podcast network of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Go check out southernfood.org. Find this show, her show, all kinds of other great shows. You've been hearing me talk a lot about that. And a Tracy show, Eating at a Meeting, is the newest addition to the network. So we're happy to have her there. It's a really interesting conversation. As I said, Tracy is an expert in both events planning and nutrition and dietetics. And what does that mean exactly? Well, when you think about going to an event, and this could be a large-scale event at a convention center or just simply planning somebody's birthday, a family gathering in your backyard. People have different dietary needs and considerations, right? Whether it's health considerations, food allergies, a belief system, you know, religious beliefs, all kinds of stuff like that play into this. And so often, as I've learned from Tracy, you know, you find that you go to, some sort of event like this, like I said, large or small, and people might treat like those considerations as an afterthought. So say you're at a convention and you need to serve a vegetarian meal, but you only plan the fish or the chicken, kind of joke about that during the interview, then it's a mad scramble, right, to meet somebody's dietary considerations. And what Tracy focuses on, and hopefully this will all make sense, but what Tracy focuses on is bringing that more into focus, talking about food safety and inclusivity at your event. And the more that you plan up front for these things, the better it is for your bottom line, the better it is for your staff, if we're talking about a commercial operation, and importantly, the better guest experience you're providing. So it's a really fascinating way to look. And at first I was thinking, wow, this seems very specific, but when you kind of consider the whole world of people out there and how they eat and when they gather at an event, being on top of what that means and being best prepared to execute it properly is just a win for everybody. And that's really what we focus on in this conversation. It's really, really interesting. And I think there's a lot of value there, whether you do commercial events or whether, like I said, you're just planning a family gathering where maybe some of your family members have different ways that they eat and different dietary considerations. So check it out. I think you're going to find all kinds of interesting stuff in there, no matter what your angle or interest in this may be. A real quick programming note, friends, next time around, as promised, we're going to be bringing you the completion of our trilogy on the wines of Georgia, of course, the country of Georgia. We've done the eastern part of the country, we've done the western part of the country most recently, and now we're going to be bringing you a show on the central part of the country. We'll be joined by Noel Brockett, who is an expert on Georgian wines, also a Georgian wine importer, and Noel was our guest on the first iteration of the show we did in 2020, or the first first episode of this trilogy, right, in 2020 on the eastern part of the country. And we also dove into history and all kinds of stuff like that. Country's been producing wine for 8,000 years, friends. A lot going on there. And we're going to be really pleased to bring you this show, kind of completing that whole cycle there on the central part of the country of Georgia. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and then we're going to be back talking with Tracy Stuckrath from Eating at a Meeting. Come on back. Hi, Brian Diaz, host of the NOLA Drink Show here. Check out Nitty Grits Podcasts, a growing network of food, drink, and culture shows. Visit southernfood.org for more. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here as always. And if you're listening at the top of the show, you know our next guest is Tracy Stuckrath from Thrive Meetings and the host of the podcast, the terrific podcast, Eating at a Meeting. Tracy, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And I'm going to ask you one quick question in just a second. But I did mention this at the top of the show, but you are, and I've said this recently because we've had several of our other podcast network mates on the show lately. You are on the Nitty Grits podcast, which is the Nitty Grits network. Podcast network at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. You are our newest show on the network. Listeners know that I'm the co-executive producer with Liz Williams, the founder of the museum there. And we were thrilled to have you join the network. So thanks for being a part of it.
I'm so excited. And I just randomly found Liz when I was coming to New Orleans and chatted with her. And she's like, do you want to be a part of this? And I'm like, yes. So I'm very excited to meet everybody and get involved. So,
and you just summarized our vetting process right there. It's actually a little bit more serious than that. But we were talking about, and I was telling you before we went on the air, Tracy, that, you know, Liz actually forwarded me your show to check it out. And I thought it was really cool. And we're going to get into what it is that you do, because it's a lot broader based than I'm sure what most people think about when it relates to things that you do at putting on events and dietary considerations and such. But when we were talking about it afterwards, I was kind of probably like most other people. Some of these things are on my radar, maybe more than the average Joe, but not much more. And I was going, wow, there's so much involved in this. And even just better ways to do this, to put on events and be more inclusive. And I don't want to take words out of your mouth, but the question I was going to ask you really quickly, tell people the title on your business card. You are president and what of Thrive Meetings?
Chief Connecting Officer.
Chief Connecting Officer. I love that. That's really cool. So tell me, one of the things that you actually say, I really enjoy this, because part of your bio on your website, which I thought was very funny, you said that you're passionate in helping people not offend or kill people with the food that you serve at the meeting. And at first I started to chuckle. I'm like, but yeah, those two things, I mean, when you can easily offend somebody when we talk about beliefs and other considerations, and then dietary considerations can literally be fatal. So, I mean, it's cutely stated, but it's a real deal. So tell people what you do.
So, yeah, some people are offended by that, but it's so true. So what I do is I help organizations, restaurants, catering teams, hotels, meeting planners, not kill or offend people with the food and beverage that they serve. And it's educating them on what vegan is, what peanut allergy is, what, you know, where are those ingredients hidden in the food and beverage that you're serving? And, you know, why it's a great opportunity to increase your revenue and reduce your risk and create an overall inclusive dining experience. And I think it's just, we take food and beverage for granted a lot. We're on Instagram with it a lot, but I still think we take it for granted, and I'm trying to open the doors and looking at it a different way.
And you do a great job, and we're going to unpack a lot of some of these things to think about during the course of the conversation. But, you know, you kind of might kick this off where you're thinking, okay, I go to an event that's put on at a convention center. I go to an event that's put on at a hotel. And I do want to, you and I were talking about this before too. You said very well, parties are events, anniversary parties, birthday parties are events. So if you're a listener, that's a consumer out there going, well, I don't put on like events at convention centers. Why do I need to hear this? The same thing applies if you're hosting 20 people for a birthday celebration.
100% includes that. Yes.
I think that's really important. And so, you know, where I was going to go with this, Tracy, is that, you know, I think maybe a lot of us, when we think about events like at a hotel or at a convention center, the limit of your thinking is the chicken or the fish.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot. So let's unpack some of that kind of stuff, because when we talk about being inclusive, what do you mean by that? And maybe actually you gave a great quote in one of your most recent episodes, quoting someone else on what is food freedom.
Mm-hmm. And food freedom is really being able to sit down at a meal and have something to eat that's not just a carrot, or that the plate is not empty, right? And so you're going to an event and you have the freedom to choose what you want to eat on that buffet, whether it's in someone's home or whether it's at the hotel, right? Free to do that. And that comes in by labeling, that's coming in by looking at different options that are provided and feeling comfortable. And because when we sit down at a meal, and we've all experienced this, that there's 10 people at a 72 inch round table, right? Or at a restaurant table. And Brian, you don't get your meal because they're fixing it. And 20 minutes later, and no one else is eating, because your meal is not there yet, because most of us have been taught not to eat until everybody has their food. And you're constantly going, go ahead and eat, go ahead and eat. Well, I don't want to eat. Well, I don't want your food to get cold. And so that's that that's an excluding experience, you know, because you just, you don't have the freedom to enjoy that celebration, no matter what kind of celebration it is, with everyone else,
right?
Because somebody else couldn't help you.
I think that's really important. And maybe if you don't mind kind of unpacking, because I think people probably mostly get what we're talking about, but I'll just use that example of that. You go to an event and they say chicken or fish and you go, well, I'm a vegetarian. So maybe would you mind describing, so that sends the kitchen into and the server and everybody else into a scramble, doesn't it? Because they didn't plan for it, and it happens in a backwards order, maybe in the way that it should, from like a planning standpoint and all of that.
Exactly. And for the host of a meeting, whether you're the meeting planner or the client hiring the meeting planner, you need to be asking your guests, your patrons, you know, do you have any dietary needs that we need to take into consideration when you come here, right? And actually tonight, let's use that tonight. I'm going to dinner at a restaurant in downtown New Bern, Cypress Hall, and for my mom's birthday. But a couple of months ago, we made reservations and she noted when I made the reservation, she's like, Tracy, we have it that you have you're gluten-free and you're dairy-free. And I'm like, that's great. I had no idea they had that information on me, but they noted it. And then when the waitress got there, she noted it. She's reconfirmed it. And then I ordered this parsnip puree, which I was really dreaming of. And it came and it didn't have it on there. And I said to the waitress, I'm like, why isn't it there? I'm like, I really wanted it. And she's like, the notes got back to the chef. And he's like, she can't have that. It's got dairy in it. And so that entire seamless process made me feel safe and appreciative of that restaurant. And no matter where you go, you know, and I went home within 30 minutes and I tagged them on Instagram. And I said, this is where you need to eat if you have a food allergy when you're in New Bern, North Carolina. And he tagged the waitress, he tagged the server, he tagged the chef. And so that's kind of what I mean. I mean, but it does take it from that reservation point, whether you're RSVPing for a party or wedding, dinner reservation, through that entire process. And it is for the eater who's making that reservation, it's a lot more complicated than just saying that, right? Because it's got to go through a bunch of different steps. And for the restaurateur, the food service provider, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot more steps. But if you've got your processes in place, just like that restaurant experience that I had, you're not going to have an issue. Right. And, you know, he knew to make utilize a new saute pan or whatever, you know, to do that, you know, I'm going to always recommend them and I'm always going to go eat there.
That's really, thank you for saying that, because, we know that restaurants often run fast and furious, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're not prepared, if you don't have these processes in place, like you said, then that just throws a huge curveball and then that's harder for them. So I think if I take you correctly, having these processes in place makes their life smoother to provide a better guest experience and a better experience for the employees, right? Especially the server.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and granted, it's a scratch kitchen, so it's much different if it's, I'm going to say, a chain restaurant, right? And they're not making everything fresh, and so I think it's definitely much easier with a scratch kitchen because you pretty much know what you're putting in your food, or you should, and you can omit or you can add or you can do whatever with that. And there's a restaurant in London, and he was in, I have to look up the episode. He was on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, but he was so annoyed one night. He was on the tube going home and he was just spent because his servers were spent and they had so many special orders, you know, gluten-free here and whatever they are. Right. He's like, there's gotta be a better way to do it. And they were about to redo their entire menu. And so like the next day he went into work and he's like, everybody, what if we just make the entire menu gluten-free and dairy-free? And they're like, okay. And they did it. But Brian, two things about this is they didn't tell anybody they did it. And they, within the first 3 months, they increased their sales by 25% and their employee happiness increased by 89%.
Wow. Now, what do you think, what attributed the 25% raise in revenue? just because people enjoyed the food and the experience and the whole thing was just good and there was no worry. And
there was no worry. And, you know, and even I went into a restaurant the other, a couple weeks ago in Asheville, Posanas, and his restaurant is completely gluten-free because his wife is celiac. And he said, I needed my wife to be able to go out to eat somewhere. It is not listed on their menu at all. It's not listed on their website that they're completely gluten-free. When you sit down, what the server, the gentleman pouring my water said, do you know the concept about behind our restaurant? And I'm like, what, that you're gluten-free? He's like, yeah. And so I like that approach as well, because sometimes you're going to get, and I talked to Peter about it, who's the owner, and you know, he's like, I don't want people to not come to my restaurant because they think gluten-free is bad, right? Or doesn't taste good. They're coming for the delicious food. I ordered 4 items on the menu because I wanted to eat that food and it's so good. And so I don't want you to get the bad connotation, but I also want you to get the great reputation for doing it well.
That's really well stated. And we've come a long way with what's available to us, right? To make food differently, safer, but not sacrifice taste and texture and all of that, haven't we?
Right. Exactly. And there are, I mean, I always say there's always cardboard regular food out there, right?
There's more processed food is cardboard than the other way around, I'd argue. But
exactly. And there's some bad tasting food from all vegan, gluten-free, regular, you know, non-vegan and gluten-free. And so you just have to think about it differently. And it's, you know, we all eat vegan at some point in the day. If you eat an apple, you're eating vegan.
Right.
If you're eating carrots, you're eating vegan, right? But you can also add some other things. And probably pretty much most of you eat nut-free all day long, you know, unless you have a bar of some sort or whatever, or you just eat nuts. But so why is it so different to think about your menus that way?
Right.
And actually Pusanas is also completely nut free as well. And so it just takes the ease. And when I was at Pusanas, I mentioned the story about the restaurant in London, and that's killing me that I don't remember the name. But I said to the servers and to the woman who was managing the restaurant that night, I said, does this ease your service style or your, and she's like, 100%. They all said it makes it so much easier to create a greater experience, you know, that people aren't stressed out. The servers aren't stressed out. The eaters aren't stressed out. The cooks aren't stressed out. So you don't have to eliminate every single dietary need, right? But understand what you're putting in it and make it easy for everybody.
Thank you for saying that as well. And you raised the point, the episode that I mentioned you did, it's your penultimate episode that's out right now, episode 87, Celebrating Independence and Freedom. And I was telling you before we went on the air, kind of using that show as a little bit of a framework for this conversation, mm-hmm. because of you kind of presented a really good overview. And one of the things that you mentioned, and I will say this, Tracy, we're going to take a break in about a minute, is that, you know, when you're sitting there and you have a dietary consideration and everybody's ordered and then you're the odd person out, you mentioned this before, not only do you wait, but that can be socially awkward, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're kind of, you're like sort of bearing your medical record to the table that you're with.
Oh, you totally are. And my friend Shandy, who runs a company called Certistar, she helps restaurants code their menus and such. But she said, this is really important. It takes 15 minutes to have that allergy conversation. So that's 15 minutes you're losing on turning that table over.
Right.
And it's 15 minutes of social awkwardness of going through that menu. And so she's actually gone in before her dinners and met with the team and said, okay, when we sit down, this is who the waiter I want. This is what I'm going to order. There's no questions about it. You know how to prepare it the way I need it because of my allergies. And she's like, I want to get rid of that, having to do that. Right. So she created this company, but so you're potentially losing revenue because you can't turn the table fast enough. And you're potentially losing revenue because of that conversation that takes on so much. She also said that a food allergic person's bill, I think it's 35% less than the standard diners because they rely on ordering the steamed broccoli or the mash, you know, whatever, because they don't want to ask the intricate questions about the regular meals.
Yeah, that makes sense as well. Interesting. Wow.
That's a
big way to, I mean, that's a big deal right there, what you said with the food cost center and restaurant. Tracy, yeah. We're going to take a quick break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and we're going to continue talking with Tracy Stuckrath from Eating at a Meeting. Come on now.
Hey, everybody. Roger here. Check out the Kitchen Counter at Nitty Grits Podcast for a smorgasbord of home cooking tips and inspiration. Whether your goal is to learn to cook, to get better at improvising recipes, or just figure out how to get meals on the table for your family, I want to help you get there. Each episode will bring you something that you can put to work in your home kitchen. Inspiration and advice from experts, deep dives into cooking techniques or ingredients, and even recipe cook-alongs. The Kitchen Counter is available wherever you listen to podcasts and at kitchencounterpodcast.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz, thanks for listening. Chatting with Tracy Stuckrath, who is the president and chief connecting officer of Thrive Meetings and also the host of the terrific podcast Eating at a Meeting. And actually, something I just wanted to touch on, and I'm going to ask you about your background, actually, Tracy. Uh-huh. But just to kind of put a bow on what we were just talking about during the break, just a touch, you know, a restaurant doesn't have to I appreciate and respect what you're just describing with a couple of these establishments, what they've done, making stuff either all vegan or all gluten-free, and it makes things a lot simpler. But, you know, you can certainly have gluten in your menu or, you know, animal proteins in your menu. But I was just saying to you, I mean, I see that we're at least in some places trending towards a direction of A, giving people clearly labeled options. But the thing that I see too, and it's also more appealing to me, who is somebody who makes the term omnivore look like an understatement, that you know, not, don't just make it the throwaway dish. Don't make it an afterthought. Put it front mm-hmm. and center. You know, show your culinary skill and talent. I think we're seeing more chefs embrace that, aren't we?
I think so. And, you know, there are some chefs who, like, one guy wouldn't even give me a bun, hamburger without a bun on it, because it messed up his line. I'm like, really? Save the $5 for that fancy hamburger bun you got. And he's like, nope, not messing up my line. And I'm like, that just drives me nuts. But you can do it. And you just have to make sure in the back of the house you're doing it safely, right? You follow your serve safe directions, and you can figure out how to do that safely. But one thing I do want to add, too, is that because this is the NOLA Drinks podcast, right? This comes down to beverages as well.
Absolutely.
And understanding what's in the cocktails. And Camper English, do you know him, Brian?
I know the name. I'm not super familiar, but yeah.
Yep. So I know he's done some stuff with Tales of the Cocktail, which you are involved with or know of. But, you know, there's nuts in cocktail, in spirits, and a variety of different things. But there's also, you're throwing eggs in a drink, or you're throwing milk in a drink. And so you need to pay attention to that, because you're probably not labeling your bar menu at all.
Right.
Yep. And so thinking about those kind of things, even if you put a sprinkle of nutmeg on top of foam, that tree nut right there could actually put somebody into anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a great point. And I mean, dairy is very common in mm-hmm. cocktails, as you mentioned, nuts. And especially when people are getting more complex with making their own syrups, they're making their own cordials and things like that, that the whole world is your oyster if you're out there doing this kind of stuff. Right. But that's a great point. You need to be careful with that. And I do find we always kind of have a chuckle because we talk about distillates. Well, and people say, you know, like on a bottle of vodka, gluten-free. By definition, it's a distillate. It's gluten-free. Yes. But that shows where we're going, because people are concerned, and they're rightfully concerned about this stuff, not just food, but drinks as well.
Yep. Well, and liquors and spirits aren't required to put their ingredients on bottles as food is.
Yep.
So it's a little bit harder, but I think Camper's doing a really good job on educating people on what is in different spirits. So, and then I don't know, do you know the website Barnivore?
I don't. Well, I'm going to write that down.
Barnivore.com, and they list vegan spirits, beer, wine. Okay. So Yeah, because even like the wine distillation can be the filtration system can be
it's the fining ice and glass in particular that you're talking
which
about.
Which is from fish, and then you can also do from eggs as well. Yep. So I know people are doing some different fining processes now to make their make sure their stuff is vegan.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And that's a nice that's actually coming being a wine industry veteran myself, that's a conversation that's been had for a number of years now, an important one. Let me ask you this, Tracy, because we talked, well, we're going to get more into some of these topics as well, but you have a very interesting, it's very clear that your background is both in dietitian stuff, but also in events. And you have a lot of impressive acronyms connected to your name. So tell us about your background and your education and how you started doing Thrive Meetings, your consulting. We're going to talk more technically about that in the podcast only segment and then the show.
Yeah. So I became an event planner back in college, and I recently told somebody this. I'm like, I worked for the health center and I had to plan Condom Awareness Week. Oh.
and on a college campus? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I said no when she wanted me to put a big condom hat on my head, but... So I started that, it kind of was probably my first event that I planned, but I was the social chair for my sorority as well. And so it just progressed into a job as a meeting planner, planning conferences and conventions, and done a couple of Olympic Games, Vancouver and Atlanta. So I'm really excited to watch the games right now. And, but I went corporate. And when I was in corporate, I got diagnosed. I was having all these medical issues at 29 and like menopause and they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. And I'm like, there's something wrong with me. And I got diagnosed with an allergy to yeast.
Oh,
and, wow. Yeah. So I walked out of the office and yeast, sugar, vinegar, dairy, peanuts, pistachios, beer. I was a big old Bud Light drinker at the time. And, so I had to change that. And I went to, well, Tito's was just coming out, or actually it came out a little bit after I got diagnosed. So bless Tito's for making that, doing that. But it really changed what I did as a corporate event planner. And I remember being in an event at Disney and my allergens was listed on 90 pages of the banquet event order. And I'm like, oh my God, that's just so embarrassing. You cannot put those nine, you cannot put that so many times. And she's like, the chef was like, Tracy, this is what my chefs, my line cooks, my chefs use to, and even the front of the house, manage the notes for what's happening in that event. And they need to know that if I'm not here, they need to know to make you something free of those things. And they need to know how to serve it. And I'm like, and she's like, and nobody sees it except for my team and you. And so that kind of information gets played into it. So that really turned into, I went to school at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Okay. And it's
where is that, Tracy?
It's an online program now.
Okay, so gotcha.
At the time I had to go to New York 9 times, which is really a hard thing to do. but so it's a health coaching program. And so I got out of that in 2009 and, I thankfully lost my corporate job and went to the Vancouver Olympics and worked and came home and started my company, Thrive Meetings and Events. And with the sole intention of creating safer, more sustainable and inclusive food and beverage experiences, which at the time was not my little tagline, but that's what it's turned into be. And now I'm 11 years in.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And you're obviously, consulting and helping people on on a national, also international level basis, or?
Yes, I've spoken on 5 continents. And so like in Europe, back in 2014, so European Union, in the US, we actually have 9 foods that we label allergens. Sesame, wheat, milk, eggs, tree nuts, peanuts, fish, shellfish, and... oh my God, I forgot the wheat, soy.
Soy, right.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And so those are the 9 that we regulate. But in the European Union, they regulate 14. And that was well before, but in 2014, they made it a requirement that all food has to be labeled directly, served directly to the consumer, whether it's prepackaged or unpackaged. So catering food, restaurant food. So now you're supposed to be able to easily read restaurant menus when you go to Europe to do that. So I talk about what that means to them because they have the same challenges that we do in the US is how do we feed all these people, right?
Yeah, sure.
And especially now that we have to label it all this food.
Right.
So
let's do this, yeah. Tracy. Let's take a little break here on the show. We're going to come back and chat about a few more issues. Yeah. You're going to stick around for our podcast only segment, Another Shot with Nola Drinks. So we're going to continue the conversation, of course, but we're going to take just a brief pause here, friends, on the Nola Drinks Show. Come on back.
Goodbye, Joe. I got to go. Mi oh my, oh.
Show Brian Diaz here with you, WDSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here. You know that. And I'm also happy to have Tracy Stuckrath here with me, who is the host of Eating at a Meeting and also the founder, president, and chief connecting officer of Thrive Meetings. And we're getting Tracy, some of your background and just, you know, how you got into the business. And I'll ask you this in a second about the show, starting the show, and you touched on that a little bit at the beginning, but you were talking about the five or so additional allergens that are labeled in the EU. And I was listening to one of your shows and you recently told a story. I won't say that it's funny because it's not, but it was indicative of what we're talking about. It was a green drink and it involved pineapple. And that's a problem for you. Can you tell that story and then kind of what the server did? I thought it was a really good example of people maybe on the fly, you know, you're talking about systematizing this, which is desirable for these things we've laid out. But this person did a good job improvising and making sure that your experience was pleasant and it didn't send you to the hospital.
Yeah, it was. It was at an event at a hotel, and it was a green drink, and it had kale and spinach and a couple of other things in it, but it was literally green and it was frothy. And I took a sip of it and I'm like, okay, I think I taste pineapple. And I'm like, I went and checked the label again and it didn't say pineapple on it anywhere. But my throat started to get scratchy. And I'm like, okay. And I went back and checked it one more time. And I'm like, I tasted it again just to make sure I was, you know, what I was tasting was what I was tasting. But the label was still wrong. And she had just come out and someone else was actually asking about the ingredients in that drink. And she pulled out of her pocket a piece of paper where she had scribbled down the ingredients that she watched the chef put into that drink. And come to find out later that they had two recipes with the same name on it. And one recipe contained pineapple and the other one did not. And the first chef made it without the pineapple and the second chef made the new batch with the pineapple, but the label out front didn't change.
Right.
And so and I'm saying that's not a one-time incident. It happens wherever you are, right? It's not just that property, but it happens a lot. But that's knowing your processes and knowing what's going on. And one thing that I find a challenge
with Tracy, sorry, and being aware, like pineapple, people may be pineapple, really? I mean, right. Being aware of what might be an allergen for people is really important to the, you need to know.
And I had never really had that issue before. So I'm like, what's going on? And they brought their health person in and he checked my EpiPens and he's like, okay, we're going to end. Cause I had to go on stage and speak in like 30 minutes. And I'm like, yeah. So, and if you give an EpiPen, you have to go to the hospital and what I did was take a Benadryl, which is not what you're supposed to do.
Then you just want to lay down.
Yes. Exactly. So it was a scary experience and I was fine, of course, but it, I loved what the server did, and I tried to get her on my show and recognize her, and she doesn't want to she's worked at that property for 25 years. And she's like, this is just part of my job and what I'm supposed to do. And I love that because she owns her job, and she took it upon herself as a server front of house to take note of what was happening in the back of the house.
That's really impressive, I think. And that's really impressive and being aware. Yeah. Tracy, tell people, go ahead. You're going to add something.
I was just going to say, I forgot to tell you how I started the podcast, but I can do.
Well, that was my next question. So go ahead, please.
So during the pandemic, actually last year, just before the pandemic hit, I decided to honor women in the food and beverage industry who are doing really cool things for Women's History Month. And so I interviewed 10 women, and then that was the impetus to start this podcast. I started a Facebook group called Eating at a Meeting, just as a way to stay in touch with people during the pandemic. And then I started doing Facebook Lives as a continuation of those 10 interviews. And I've now got 87 episodes published.
Yes.
And I keep going. And I did the 10, every year I'm going to do the 10 women doing really cool things in food and beverage. And some of those stories, I'm just in tears. And because it's just so awesome on why they're doing it and what they're doing. And I don't interview just women. I interview anybody that's doing really interesting things around food and beverage.
Yeah, it's really cool what you're doing. And congratulations on approaching 100 episodes, by the way.
That's, I know. I'm kind of scared. I'm like, oh, my God.
It keeps going, right?
And it does.
We were just talking during, and I don't want to belabor this too much, but we were talking during before we went on air that you recently had a mutual friend of ours, Tiffany, the drinking coach Barrier, on, and I think very, very highly of Tiffany, and a great person to feature in your 10 women program.
She's amazing. Absolutely. And just the stories that she's telling with every single cocktail she makes is so fun.
Yeah. She's a tremendous storyteller. That's one of, and she understands how important that is in all things. Well, let's see, we got about 4 minutes or so left, Tracy, before we close things out. One of the things that you said on the show too, and you were quoting somebody else, and I won't quite get it right, but I think to kind of summarize some of the stuff that we've talked about, and I'm going to paraphrase and I'll ask you to say it much better and what it means. If you're providing, if you're creating, if you're cooking, whatever, for the minority, you're actually doing the same for the majority. And I think that that's kind of the take home message with a lot of this, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you plan for the minority, and I'm going to say probably 30% of your attendees have some sort of dietary need. So if you plan around those, everybody else can still eat it. So why not plan it without peanuts or without gluten or whatever? Because Brian, you could still walk through that buffet and you can still eat on everything, everything, even because because you don't have a dietary need doesn't mean you can't eat it. Right.
Right.
As long as you make it delicious and inviting, you know, for the minority, you're going to make it delicious and inviting for the majority.
That's such a great, and it got me thinking because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I kind of eat everything, and I'm very lucky in that regard.
Right.
But yeah, there's absolutely, I mean, I enjoy vegan food, I enjoy vegetarian food, and I just enjoy well-prepared food. It doesn't have to have this or that or the other thing for me to like it. And so as long as it's prepared well, then if anything that's in front of me, I can eat. You've taken care of me and you've taken care of everybody that you might encounter proactively, which, as you mentioned, I mean, it makes everyone's life easier. And it ultimately, as we've discussed here on the show, it saves you money. It saves you time. It saves your staff stress. And all of that matters both fiscally and just sort of spiritually.
100%. And because when we sit down at a meal and we break bread with each other, we create better relationships and we create stronger, you know, business relationships, personal relationships, and being able to just do that with freedom of choice and freedom of eating, it just makes that experience so much better.
That's really well said. Well, Tracy, do me a favor, tell people, we've got a couple more minutes here, but tell people where they can find you online, how they can connect with you, if they're interested in hiring you or talking to you about your services.
My phone number is.
No. Do you get a free set of Ginzu cutting knives? That's the question.
Exactly. In the next 15 minutes. So they can find me at thrivemeetings.com. So that's THRIV as in Victor E meetings.com. The Eating at a Meeting podcast is on all podcast platforms. So just look for Eating at a Meeting. And you can, the Eating at a Meeting Facebook group, it's a free group to join. And you can, it's we've got almost at the hitting 1,000 people on that group, but we just talk about food and beverage in all aspects as well. And so it's a fun group to be a part of. And on Instagram, I'm T Stuckrath. So T S T U C K R A T H.
Awesome. And when all the social here for our show rolls out, we'll be sure to tag you and have all that on there. And absolutely. And I wanted to highlight something too on the show. It's really fun and you can get it on all the major podcast networks. Go check out Nitty Grits Podcast at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, southernfood.org. Right there at the top of the page, you'll see a link that says blog and podcast, and you'll see Tracy's show there. And I was just checking it out on Spotify. And I'll highlight too, like your most recent published episode, number 88, we're talking about blueberries and strawberries, two of my very favorite things. So with a cookbook author. So it's a very broad based conversation. And then you bring it home to talk about inclusivity and allowing everyone to eat and enjoy and be safe. And so that's a big world. And I thank you for tapping into that here, because I think, like we were talking about at the beginning of the conversation, people might just go chicken or fish. And there's a hell of a lot more to it than that. So thank you, Tracy. You're going to stick around for another Shot with Nola Drinks, our podcast only segment. And we're going to talk a little bit further. If you are listening on the radio here, thank you very much, friends. I do encourage you to go to noladrinks.com and find the podcast version, because you want to hear more of what Tracy has to say. And otherwise, if you are listening on the radio, hey, we'll see you next week. And remember to be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until next time, cheers, y'all. All right, everybody, thanks for sticking around for another Shot with Nola Drinks. Hope you're enjoying this conversation with Tracy Stuckrath of Eating at a Meeting. Such interesting stuff. We're going to bounce right back to that conversation and delve further into the topics with her. Here we go. Yep, another Shot with Nola Drinks. Friends, thanks for being here. We are chatting. We are continuing our conversation with Tracy Stuckrath, who is the host of the very fine podcast Eating at a Meeting, and also the president and chief connecting officer of Thrive Meetings. And Tracy, we got a little bit of a taste of like your background and what the show is about and all that kind of stuff. Let me ask you this, because I mentioned at the top of the show and when we first came in with the first segment with you, being a part of the Nitty Grits podcasts. Now, we changed the name from, and I keep stumbling over this, because we changed the name from Nitty Grits Podcast Network to Nitty Grits Podcasts, which is the network of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. So whatever, Nitty Grits. And you know, we've been kind of being very, you know, careful about the shows that we add. And I was just going to get your sentiment on it. I know for me, I was very excited to become a part of the network because help get it going. Because, you know, you kind of do a show and you kind of put it out there and you're kind of like, you know, the lone voice in the forest in a lot of ways when you publish to this podcast platform or that podcast platform and however that works. And I was just so excited to be a part of and build a community of like-minded shows and people. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, kind of what attracted you to want to get involved with Nitty Grits?
Well, I just love the concept. I mean, around food and beverage, and because my topic is very niche, and I got to grab people in a specific way, but to be part of a network that has other influencers and conversationists,
and me in addition to those people,
right? Exactly. You know, that can help market me for one, but also can help bring conversations. Cause even when before we went on air and we were like, oh, you knew this person and you know this person and the inclusion part and different concepts. And cause I don't know everybody in the spirits world. And I think it's a really cool way for me to learn too, because yes, we have Google, we have the internet, right? But I don't know how to find people necessarily. And I don't know cool people who are doing, I don't know all the cool people who are doing food and beverage stuff. And sure. So I think that's the really good network that I think all six shows that we have on there now.
I think six, that sounds right. Yep.
You know, we can all help each other find those connections with the different angles. And so, yeah. And actually there's an email I need to reply about one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Great. It's just a really cool thing. And it's really fun to, I think, you know, this, cause like we were talking about some people, we were talking about Tiffany Barrier, the drinking coach that you had on, and Tiffany and I have been friends for a while. And then a friend, a very good friend of Tiffany, Kiata Mincy, and Kiata's wonderful. I was telling you during the break that she started an urban garden in Atlanta that's by and for bartenders. I think it's called Paradise Garden. And I love both Tiffany and Kiata, and they've been on my show more than once. And, you know, where I'm kind of going with this, it almost reminds me of New Orleans in a way, Tracy, and that what we always say here. Everybody here is like 1 degree of separation. It's like you're sitting at a bar in New Orleans and you're just talking to somebody. And then, you know, invariably it'll be like, you know, oh, where'd you grow up? Or, and everybody here identifies with where they went to high school. Right. And so it'll be, you know, where did you grow up and all this kind of stuff. And that's how you figure these things out. And, and then you'll go, well, I know so-and-so and I know so-and-so and I know so-and-so and you'll go, oh, it's amazing. And then you go, oh, it's New Orleans. Everybody's 1 degree of separate. It's really not that amazing. But in the industry too, I think in the food and drink industry and things like that, it's actually a pretty small world on a lot of levels. Yes. And so, you know, you're talking to somebody who's bound to know, you and I were bound to know people in common, even though we haven't known each other that long.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, and I just did it the other day with two people, just randomly, the graphic designer at the UPS store. So I like the fact and that we can do that and learn from each other, because there's so much to learn. And what Tiffany's doing with creating, you know, stories, Black history stories with every cocktail she makes, and the depth of research that she does for each one of those stories is just mind blowing. And it's, I just love what she's doing. And so it's really gets kind of fun. And with the food side of it too, I mean, bar with you and drinks, I mean, drinks are really turning to culinary, you know, for their flavors and how we think about them. And I mentioned it a little while ago, you know, we have to really think about allergens when we're thinking about drinks as well. And it's not just food. And you mentioned the pineapple thing. Did you know that there's more than 170 foods that that are known to people be allergic to? That came out wrong. 170 foods,
I get what you meant.
170 foods that people are allergic to.
Wow.
And but there's only 9 that cause 90% of all allergic reactions.
And those are the big ones we listed before. So that's why those are the ones, because I mean, actually, this is probably a good question, because I think there's got to be like a balancing act in all of this too, for if you're running a business and doing things that, you know, the more, and so much of what you said was so instructive in the previous segments, that you're actually saving yourself time, you're saving yourself hassle, you're saving yourself money, you're providing a better guest experience and all of that. But, you know, I'm sure there's still got to be trade-offs, right? When you go in and you're working with a client, I mean, at a certain point, you know, people want steaks, and that's just what people want in a particular restaurant.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be able to find that balancing act, I'm supposing, for all of this.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go into an Italian restaurant that makes fresh pasta and say, I need completely gluten-free pasta, right? No, I mean, their reasonable accommodation for you would be to make a box pasta in a pot that has fresh water, right? They cannot cook it in the regular pasta water, because that would be cross-contamination.
Right.
But if they made a fresh, that's your accommodation for you to enjoy that meal. But we can't go in and expect them to completely eliminate everything, right? We have to think of it on both sides. And one thing that I think of is like, if you don't have allergies, you don't live with this every single day. And so as an eater, we also have to be in the perspective of education, you know, and granted, it's hard that we're constantly educating, but that's the only way people are going to help be able to help feed us.
Right. Absolutely. That's really, really important. Well, let me ask you this, Tracy, when you go in on, say, like a consulting kind of basis to work with an events company, a hotel, convention center, restaurant for that matter, how does that process kind of work? Do you say, hey, can I look at the menu? I mean, how does that kind of work, and what do you provide and what do you work through with people kind of, and maybe just give me like a, you know, sort of a generic case study version.
So I would probably do a secret shopping kind of experience and go in and see, you know, look at their menu online. Cause you know how many menus online are different from the ones that are available in person. Those are different. Sometimes they're not the same. So comparing those two different things, checking out the experience when I call in and make a reservation. And then what's the experience when I, you know, when the waiter comes and asks for my menu, what I want to eat and what their knowledge is.
Can I ask you a quick question? And I don't want to break your train of thought, because like the menu thing, I know with my wife and I, sometimes we'll look up a menu online and it's just a photograph of the menu, or they'll say, this is a sample menu. It's like, look, a lot of really good restaurants, they change what they do every single day, what's seasonal, what they're sourcing, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So lots of times, you know, I get the idea that you're not going to have today's menu online all the time. It's just not possible for small restaurants in particular to do that.
Right.
So can we message that in an important way? And I mean, this is probably something you would tell them. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I would just say, hey, this menu changes on a daily basis. Please call the restaurant and ask and talk to us, right? And so that
say we have these dietary options always. There's always going to be this on there. There's always going to be that on there if that's what you do.
Exactly. Okay. And or get on our mailing list. And this, and we can email you the menu, right? You know, if you're a local, right? So looking at those things and saying, hey, we do take these into consideration. Even noting, hey, we're not completely allergen free, you know, we're not completely gluten free, but we do take these precautions. Please call us to have a conversation, because you want the eater to let you know that they're coming, because oh my gosh, when they're coming in and in the middle of the rush of dinner and they're like, oh, by the way, I am gluten free, dairy free, vegan, right? You're going to go, what? The server's going to go, what? They're handling on multiple tables, whatever reason it is, it's going to kind of get lost. So having that up front. So, but then asking, like, you know, asking the questions, I want to go ask the server, the front of the house, what are your biggest challenges with this? What are your biggest concerns with this, with dietary needs? And, you know, the front of the house may be different than the back of the house's issues or challenges, right? And one thing that it drives me nuts with property hotels, especially, is that the menus that you put out on a buffet are designed and created by the front of house staff. And not a lot of times are they communicating with the back of the house.
Yeah, sure.
And so like we, at an event that I did at a hotel, in Atlanta years ago, they had chipped beef and gravy, and the guy had put out that it contained pork. And we had somebody with a serious milk or a serious wheat allergy. And I said, do you know that gravy is made with milk and flour, right? And he looks at me dead in the face and says, I don't cook. How would I know that? And I'm like, you're the guy front facing to the customers, and that's the response that you're going to give somebody. And so to me, front of the house and the back really needs to know what you're cooking how you're doing it.
You've got to, and I think, and I don't want to go too far off on this tangent, you've got to empower your staff, right? Because I mean, 100%. We all know when you're a server front of house, it's, you know, you're getting your ass kicked sometimes. And I mean, not necessarily making a ton of money, especially these days in many cases and things like that. So adding more to their plate that they have to figure out for themselves isn't necessarily fair for the server either, is it?
Right. No. And they are your ambassador for your food.
Absolutely.
You know, and you need them to know. And that's where, like Shandy, I mentioned earlier, her CertiStar program helps them not have to remember all of that stuff. right? So it, they can, you can actually use a QR code and give it to the server or give it to the patron and say, look at this. This is what we've got for you, right? So you can look it up. But it's a lot. And when you're flipping tables and, you know, you don't want to 86 a bunch of menus because, or meals, because you got something wrong.
Right.
And it, so it's the back of the house and the front of the house responsibility for me for understanding it all. And so when I talk to restaurants and properties, it's looking at those menus, having those conversations with, you know, what are your challenges? Okay. Well, why is that? Why is that your challenge? Okay, so why is that? And just keep in asking that why, mm-hmm. you know, and let's breaking it down to figure out how can we make a process better.
That's great. So, because it's changing the thought process, really, right? Yes. And I think people mm-hmm. like we all have this sense of inertia that goes on, right, when you're doing this, well, because that's the way I do it. And you've never really,
yeah.
It's the same thing with sustainability, right? When you're talking about reducing mm-hmm. waste in a restaurant or bar yep. setting, that lots of times you just don't think about the fact that little, you know, plastic straws or garnishes that you use and things, the monumental mm-hmm. amount of waste that can be created, ways to repurpose right. things over and over again. Oh, and yeah. lots of times people will go, man, I just never thought of that. It wasn't like they were doing it to yeah. just be lazy. They just never thought of it.
100%. And it's not like we go into the store and we buy this allergen and we can't go into the store and return it either. You know, right, right. I mean, you could potentially outgrow it, but a lot of people grow into them. The number one allergy for adults is shellfish and you're right. growing into it. And it's for adults, adult onset allergen.
Right.
And just a stat to show from Dr. Gupta from
CNN.
Chicago, it's, yeah. 32 million Americans have food allergies and 26 million of them are adults. So it's wow. not a kid thing.
Right. Cause we kind of just associate it with like kids and peanuts often, don't we? And it's
right. We do. And it is life threatening allergies. It's not just, oh, I don't like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Now don't tell anybody yeah. that I'm probably full of it when I say I have a Brussels sprouts allergy.
Oh, dude, that's wrong. I know. I love them.
I have a hard time. That's like, I mean, I'll eat just about anything and I'll eat them. I will eat them, but there's just, I don't know, as a kid always, you know how it is too. Like our palates change over time and yes. my palate has gotten much broader doing what I do and living in survival, living in the developing uh-huh. world a lot and stuff. And so I become a much broader eater than I used to be, but there's still a few of those remnant kid ones that I have a hard time getting over. So but hey, anyway, not important here.
Oh, there's a restaurant. I remember this is like, oh my gosh, from like 15 years ago, there's a restaurant in New Orleans that Couchon,
as they would yes, say in French, yes. but Couchon as they say here. Yeah.
Yes. And they made a horseradish, sauteed horseradish Brussels sprouts. The nine of us that were at dinner that night about fell out of our chairs. It was so good.
Now, see, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love some horseradish. So,
me too.
And Brussels sprouts. But yeah. No, yeah. It's not easy, but it's really rethinking how your processes. But it's an opportunity, like I said before, to increase your sales. And another stat, which is from Gluten-Free Passport, is that, I hope I get this right, 65% of restaurant owners find the allergen-free and gluten-free market to be a profitable market. But the other two stats is that I think it's 82% of people will not come back to your restaurant. This is allergen-free, gluten-free people will not come back to your restaurant if they have a bad dining experience. But on the flip side, 91% of them will if they have a great experience. And think about that. I'm not eating by myself. I'm bringing you and I'm bringing your wife and I'm bringing, you know, Liz with us to dinner. So that's three other plates besides mine. And right. we're going to choose the restaurant based on me because I've got the dietary need.
Right. That's a great right? point.
And that's four times as much money.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say, made this pretty clear, but when you say have a good dining experience, this isn't just like not getting sick or having an allergic right. reaction. This is having a good dining experience where you're comfortable. We go out to eat because we go out to eat to enjoy the experience, right? most of us anyway. It's, you know, I cook pretty good. I can make good drink at home, things like that. And not as good as, you know, a restaurant does on any front, but maybe 80% or 85% of what somebody does in a good restaurant, I can do at home. And I know everybody's different, but you know, I go out. The reason why we all go out is we go out for the camaraderie and the breaking of bread together, as you said earlier. Right. And that's part of having a good experience. And you've shed so much light here, Tracy, on this show about people with dietary considerations, what goes into having a good experience. And for those of us who don't think about those things, it's opened my eyes a lot. And I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I learn every single day. And actually I want to bring up one other thing that we talked about before the show is that even that dining experience, when we're talking about accessibility, it's not just food allergies. So we also have to think about our diners who are visually impaired or hearing impaired or utilize a wheelchair, right? And I told you the story of me making a plaque for Stevie Wonder, and I did it in regular engraving, but I also engraved it in Braille. And just having one menu, one or two menus in your restaurant that are written in Braille would be so welcoming for somebody who's visually impaired.
Absolutely.
Right? And so just thinking about those different ways that you can create your restaurant, your venue, your event, any more inclusive for everybody would be just
Dream. And that's, and we didn't get into that because that's a whole other show in itself. We were talking about Yannick Benjamin, who's a friend of mine, who is a noted somm, who is physically challenged. He's in a wheelchair. World-class sommelier, opened up a restaurant, Contrato, in Brooklyn recently and doing really well. And the whole place is built around accessibility for those who are physically challenged. And we'll have to have Yannick back on, and you'll have to have Yannick on your show.
Cause he's just
great human on that level. But Tracy, do me a favor, tell people one more time where they can connect with you online, on the socials, on the website, and where they can find you because they need to hire you too.
Oh, I would love them to hire me. Okay. So my website is thrivemeetings.com. So T-H-R-I-V as in Victor, E meetings.com. And on, I have the Eating at a Meeting Facebook group and the Eating at a Meeting podcast. So Facebook group is free to join. Podcast is free to listen to on all podcast platforms. And you can also reach me on Instagram at T Stuckrath. Awesome. So T-S-T-U-C-K-R-A-T-H.
Awesome. Tracy, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to having you. Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to having you back on the show. Again,
likewise. I need to get you on my show too.
Hey, I would anytime. It's always fun to do that. So I'd love that very much. Thank you, friends. Thank you, Tracy. Brief musical interlude, and I'll be back to close things out. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for joining us this time around on the NOLA Drink Show and another shot with NOLA Drinks. A little programming note for you here, because you are a podcast listener if you're hearing this part of the show. Yeah, we're still getting caught up on podcasts. You know, we were talking about that before. I've mentioned it in past couple shows. We had Hurricane Ida. We were meant to take an extended vacation here on the NOLA Drink Show. We kind of carried on with that. The radio versions of the show have been trucking along after a little bit of a break, but we're getting caught up here on the podcast. So this is one of those. As you're hearing me speak right now, this is well after Hurricane Ida, and we're back into producing new shows, but we're getting you some of these really interesting podcasts and great shows that we recorded before the storm and before our break, because we did not want to fail to bring those to you. Important stuff here, but a great conversation with Tracy. Always really interesting. I mean, it's the first time I've ever talked to her, but such an interesting topic or set of topics, I should say, and just such a new way of thinking about presenting events and even hosting a party. You know, when you prepare for everyone, you're just better off. And I think it's really a great way to think, really fascinating, very inclusive, just very important stuff. So do check out her work. It's really cool. And we're happy to have Tracy on the podcast network at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, the Nitty Grits Podcast, Eating at a Meeting. Check it out, friends. We'll see you soon. Here's to you.